Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lincioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lincioni, your host, joined by Tracy and Cody. What's up, you guys?
Not a whole
Not
lot.
Not much.
Podcast.
I mixed it up there. I didn't ask you how you're doing. We got Matt in studio too. Hey, Matt, thumbs up today. Thumbs up from Matt. What are we going to talk about today, Cody?
Well, very clever title you made here, Pat. It's called Whatever You Say, Boss.
Well, actually, I think you had a lot to do with that title.
No, I just wanted to give you credit, so it seemed like you were doing this here. Yeah.
That's right. Whatever You Say, Boss, which is really interesting because that gets into what we're going to talk about today. Because, you know, I wrote a book called The Motive, which came out right before COVID, so a lot of people didn't hear about it. And it's about the leader wanting to do what they do to serve others. It's not about them. The wrong motive is to be rewarded. And when a leader has the wrong motive, that's a really bad thing. And I've also talked a lot about the importance of humility for leaders. It's critical. So we're going to have a little twist on that, because even humble leaders with the right motive to serve others, even they have needs in the moment and in general. And it's really important that those leaders acknowledge and accept that it's okay to have those needs. And sometimes they actually need to know that it's okay to be accommodated or even humored by the people they lead, which sounds weird, I know. But what I'm talking about is not obsequiousness or blind obedience or butt kissing. It's not the emperor with no clothes. You look fine, boss. It's recognizing that even a humble leader needs grace and encouragement sometimes. And sometimes they just need people to say, you can make that decision. That's okay. And this is not only because the leader needs that to be human, because they're human, but it's also about allowing her or him to effectively do their job sometimes when there's a lot of pressure, distractions, and challenges. And it's hard because leaders who have the right motive and want to be humble think that they should never get their way just because they're the boss, and that is not true. Sometimes people need to say, whatever you say, boss.
Yeah, I think this will be a fun conversation, Pat, because I think part of what we're doing here is, I love that you're couching it in the idea of this person has to be humble and have the right motives, because the opposite type of leader is very adept at getting what they want. They're not shy about saying, hey, here's what I need from you, or I'm going to make this decision. You had talked about a concept a long time ago, Pat, that I think is relevant here. There's sort of this downside of humility in some ways. We talk a lot about all of the upsides of humility.
Right.
But there's a little bit of a downside, especially when it comes to being a truly humble leader, where you're maybe not as adept at saying, here's what I need from you, or hey, can we just do this? You're really leaning into the thoughts and opinions of your team, and sometimes you need them to just say, whatever you say, boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I like to think about in this? I don't know why, but in talking about this earlier with Tracy too, it's like when you think about a director of a movie. Okay. And I think it's a good example because it's so clear that the director is in charge, right? They're on set, they're trying to make this movie, and they're under a lot of pressure. They've got a producer telling them, we got to get on schedule and our budget's over, and you've got actors that need to be managed, and you've got sound and lighting and all the sets and the weather. And the director, it's one of the most pressured leadership roles you can imagine. Well, there's two ways to look at this. You can be one of those directors, and we've heard about these people, who abuse their authority. And they're screaming at people and yelling at people and firing somebody because of this and firing somebody because of that. And that's not what we're talking about, like saying, whatever you say, boss. Those people are glad for you to do that, and they abuse it. And so doing what they want really does come down to survival-based obsequiousness, which is gross. But if you're the director of a film and you're a humble leader that's motivated, I want to do a great film and I want everybody to be part of this. There's times when you just have to say, we're going to do it this way. And somebody might say, well, we could do it this way or that way. And they're going to be like, nope, I need to get my way here. And it's not a bad thing for the people that work for them to go, he's the boss. Let's do it his way. But it's hard. You could never direct a movie without being okay with that, or it's going to be a really crappy movie. But some leaders have a hard time knowing, sometimes I do need to get my way, because I think it's the right thing and it'll allow us to move forward.
Well, I think the other thing that we're bringing to the table in this conversation, Pat, is that would not be true of, like, if that decision is going to wreck the plot of the movie, or if it's going to, you know, undermine a whole character. Like, we talk so much about mining for conflict when people have a different opinion on things that matter. You should be passionate about pushing back, and leaders should open up the dialogue for that. But if this is a personal preference that isn't totally integral to the strategy or that scene or the entire, you know, plot of the movie, there, it is okay occasionally to say, yeah, I get it. You're in charge here. Whatever you say, boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you made that distinction, because it's not about something that's so critical or so moral or ethical that you have to die on that hill.
Mm-hmm. And I would say it's very likely that those juxtapositions of those two types of leaders, Pat, the one that is humble almost would never push for that in that moment, like would not push for their own opinion or their own decision if it were critical to the entire strategy of what you're doing in your business or that movie. Whereas the other type of leader, the non-humble one, might do that very regularly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the abusive part.
And do you guys think it's okay for that humble leader to demand that from his or her team if it's not a big decision? Cody, to your point?
Well, I will say, as an aspiring humble leader, I don't think I do that very well. aspiring is a good word to put in there. There have been times, even on our team, where I felt like, hey, do I really have to discern through this with you and convince you? Like, is there any equity in the role that I have to just say, can we not wrestle this one all the way to the ground and just kind of trust me to move forward? And so I don't know, the word demand might be a little weird because it feels like I'm not allowing their input, but there are times where out of sheer exhaustion, I might be like, hey, can we not argue about this one and just do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it's a different thing in parenting because kids are kids and they're not your peers. But there are times when I don't think a parent should live by this. And in my generation, when I grew up, my parents were a little bit more like, hey, do it because I'm your parent. That's why, because I said so. But there are times as a leader when you're going to have to go, okay, I need you to do it because I said so. Mm-hmm. And if they know your motives are good, they're going to be like, that's okay.
Yep.
If they know your motives aren't, you're probably not going to even know that they were struggling with it. They're going to be obsequious and be really frustrated and look for another job.
And I don't think this is outside of any of the things that you talk about in the five dysfunctions of a team and mining for conflict, Pat. I think that one of the things that is sort of implicit in this conversation is that the leader's job is not to get consensus. We talk about consensus being a four-letter word, right? So it's not the leader's job to make sure everybody feels equally agreeable on a decision that they're making. It's, you say this all the time, the leader's job is to break the tie. This is why they get the medium-sized bucks. And sometimes it's not a tie with your team. Sometimes it's just you get paid to make those decisions. And even if your gut is maybe not in line with what the rest of the team is thinking, it's still ultimate, you know, the responsibility falls back on the leader.
Right. And that's the thing, because like the director is going to be responsible for if that movie is bad. And at the end of the discussion, you're having a discussion about the right thing to do. He or she is going to have to say, I need you to do it my way, because at the end of the day, I'm responsible for this. And that's healthy hierarchy. Like, I like to say that I don't love overly hierarchical. In fact, I don't like overly hierarchical organizations, but I do love hierarchy because we know where responsibility lies. And the reason why we're having this conversation at this podcast is not to say to employees out there, hey, you know, just give in to your boss more. He or she is really stressed. It's to say to leaders, do not criticize yourself for those moments when it's actually appropriate to say, I'm going to ask you to do it my way, and I just need you to be okay with that. And so many leaders, when they get to that moment, they start to feel guilty and they start to say, gosh, am I the emperor with no clothes? Am I that overbearing director that wants people to kiss my butt? And the answer is no. But there's going to be those moments of truth when you have to do this. And I was watching a TV show that my wife and I love called Turn, T-U-R-N. It's a series about George Washington and his spies. And George Washington really was a humble leader. I mean, it's a pretty amazing thing. And this has been attested to. Even the enemy thought so. And there were times when, and they portray him really well, but he did some things that were like, oh crap, that was harsh. And people opposed him, and he had to say, no, we are going to do this way. And then he had to live with the fact that he was standing alone. And that is not the sign of an abusive leader with the wrong motive. It's actually a sign of a leader stepping up and saying, sometimes I need that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I do think, Pat, you know, as you think about that, we talk about that consensus idea happening in meetings, which consensus leads to equally disagreeable decisions by everybody, right? Or yeah, the same can be true in that movie circumstance, or even in George Washington's circumstance, which is, if you made a movie by consensus, at best it would be mediocre. You know, like it feels like if everybody's agreeing on every scene and every possible plot twist, I think that there is something to be said for, there's a reason that director or that leader has been elevated to that position. And if they're humble and they're doing it for the right reasons, then it's perfectly acceptable to go that route and say, you got it.
Oh no, I've just come up with a 2x2 matrix. And it's like, and I think about like, because you go to movies half the time, you go, how could this be so bad? Somebody spent literally like $5 million making a movie, and did nobody realize what was going on? And if you think about it, it's usually not because they have the wrong idea. It's usually because, just like in a company, of the way they behaved when they were making it and the decisions they made. And on one axis is the boss being like willing to demand that people do what he or she says. On the other axis is the boss being comfortable, humbly getting their way in those rare moments. And of course, a bad movie would be the dictatorial one where the boss is constantly getting his way and everybody is saying, oh yeah, whatever you say, boss. The other bad movie would be the one where the boss is uncomfortable saying, sometimes you need to do it my way. Because that's, it's like it's abuse and dictatorship versus consensus and mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to break out of both of those. And the leader has to be humble enough to realize that their way is not always right, but comfortable enough to sometimes say, I'm going to ask you to do it my way. Mm-hmm. And that's so that's like, anyway, 2x2 matrix. That's my life.
we need a visual podcast with a whiteboard for how many of those you come up with, because it would be easier to do that. But I do think, even as we mentioned a little bit at the beginning, but again, it's worth reinforcing the idea that none of this applies to really consequential decisions, right? Like we will advocate over and over again that if it is a serious decision, a strategy altering decision, a movie altering decision, obviously mining for conflict and having the best possible conflict around the idea is absolutely necessary. But in these sort of periphery moments, I can even say from personal experience, like it feels good to be able to say, hey, let's just do this because that's the way I'm hoping we can do this without having to rally the troops and galvanize everybody around the decision, because that takes so much effort. And you do that so often on the big rocks that it's nice occasionally to not have to do that on some of the small rocks.
I love that you said that. Sometimes it's actually okay to say, let her have her way. This is not that big a deal. She's exhausted. We've done all these things. It's not going to matter. Let's give her a little grace or a little accommodation. And we're not doing it because we're being obsequious. We're doing it because she deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader has to sometimes go, thank you guys for throwing me a bone. And Cody, you made me realize that that is probably the hardest thing about being a leader. It's that moment when you have a monumental decision to make, a make or break one, and there is no clear idea how to do this. And people might be against what you're thinking, but in your heart and in your gut, you believe something's right. There is that moment at the end of that dialogue when you might have to say, I'm going to do it my way, you guys. And that's when you have to have the humility to say, and if it doesn't work out, it's on me.
Yep.
But you're not doing it because you want them to just go along with you, whatever you say, boss. It's like, okay, we've had it all out. It's your call. And that's the lonely moment of a leader. It's like, it's going to come down to your call, but you're doing it with all the input and with the humility of knowing that you're not the only person in the room. So probably the hardest moment for a leader.
I love that you just gave some practical tips on how to even communicate that to the team, because it's one thing to conceptually say, hey, you got it, boss, you know, whatever you say. It's a whole other thing for that humble leader to be able to articulate in that moment and say, hey, I really am going to push for it to happen the way I want it to happen. And if it doesn't work, then it's on me. I think that even the way, and the humble leaders are better at this than the non-humble ones. I know I have in moments of lack of humility said, I'm going to die on this hill and you can determine how long that will take. You know, that's not the right way to communicate that sentiment. But I love the idea of saying like, hey, the results of this decision will fall on me and I need you guys to get, you know, execute on this. I love the practical element of how you communicate that too.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, life is not black or white, you know, extreme. Everyone listening to this has moments when they did things out of humility and when they did things not out of humility. We're not like locked into one or the other. And it's okay to go to people and go, gosh, in the past I've demanded to get my way. And I think I did it out of kind of just determination and a little bit of arrogance. And I'm sorry. And, mm-hmm. but there's times that I'm going to need to get my way. And I just want you to know, it's not because I don't respect you, but I think this is what's necessary. And I appreciate you recognizing that. And you can even call me on it and say, hey boss, are you doing this with the right motive or the wrong motive? And they can go, oh, right motive. And they can go, okay, mm-hmm. whatever you say, yep. boss.
I love that. I think it's really important that employees have grace for their leaders, because I love that example. And it's so important for an employee to go to receive that and to hear that. So yeah. critical.
Yeah. And that's the difference between being a parent and being a boss. I think kids should have grace for their parents, but the purpose of parenting a 13-year-old is not so they give you a break. Hopefully mm-hmm. you can teach them why that's important, but mm-hmm. it's a different, but when you're dealing with adults, it's actually okay to say, I'd like you to have the emotional intelligence and the humility in yourself to sometimes recognize I'm human and to throw mm-hmm. the dog a bone. So is it my turn to do the unpaid ad today?
It is.
It is.
All right. I'm going to do two. They're both real, but one is a little more serious, and that is a book by John Gordon, a dear friend of ours. It's called The One Truth, and it's life-changing. It's amazing. It's really great. And he really, it's a book that deserves that title. It gets at the heart of like adversity in life and what, how do we have unity in ourselves and with others? I loved it. It's fantastic. So check that out. John's a dear friend. The other one is a movie called Hoodwinked. And it's from years ago. And we were just talking about it before, and I was playing some of the music. There's a movie out there, and Tracy and I were talking about it. It's a shame when great movies kind of get lost, because you don't like walk mm-hmm. through your house and look at a book on the shelf and say, I should read that again. They're just out there in the cloud or in the ethosphere or whatever the heck you call it. And there's a movie called Hoodwinked. You can watch it with your kids. You can watch it as adults. It is fantastic. It has great music. And the people that made it actually wrote the music and performed a lot of it. I don't know. These guys were brilliant. So I just want to revive the movie Hoodwinked. Go out and watch it on some streaming service near you. All right. That's the end of today's podcast. Thank you for listening. And thank you for joining us. As always, we appreciate you. And we will talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.